Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Sean Hammer. Today, we will be going over just a few little guidelines of things I'll be doing in the near future. One will be, I used to be on a podcast called Miscast Podcast, and you find that at www.miscastpodcast.com. I used to do that with a buddy of mine, Jason Justice. And we started a segment called Warhammer's Deadliest Warrior. It seemed to go out with pretty good success, and I'm going to continue that. Unfortunately, Jason had he stopped doing his podcast, and I'm just going to take over with some of the ideas that we had floating around since the beginning. So what this segment is originally started out with taking hero-level characters, spinning around, but I think it was 200, 300 points. I got to go back over my notes and stuff and see exactly what it was. Then, just like the TV show Deadliest Warrior, we pit two different races, hero class characters, against each other, focusing on armor, ranged weapons, combat ability, and special rules. And go ahead and figure these two out to see which one is Warhammer's greatest, deadliest warrior. Our first one that we attempted to do was actually the, I believe it was Wood Elf Ultra Noble against a Sore Scar Veteran. Scar Veteran came out on top. And then exactly, you know, we'll go ahead and read through that, explain how I came up with the different, you know, which one fared against each other in a statistical die rolling match of about 400 dice rolls and a little bit of scenario play with each one. So look forward to that coming up. And the first one I'll be doing is, don't quote me, but I'm probably going to pit a Dark Elf Assassin against a Skaven Assassin. I might even do special characters. So look forward to that. And that will be Warhammer's Deadliest Warrior on Sean Hammer. Coming up next, I'm going to start my segment called The Art of War, Hammer 40K. If this goes, I'll do one for fantasy. But what we'll be doing is we'll be breaking it down by Sun Tzu, his philosophies of modern, well, in his time, his philosophical war methods. Not all of them apply to the miniature combat game system, but some do, and I broke it down a little bit. I found a little bit intriguing, and hopefully everyone like it. And this is kind of like a beginner's guide, so if you're new to the game, we'll go through the different phases week by week: movement, setup, combat, or assault phase, ranged attack, psychology, and so forth. So before we get going, let's go ahead and get a word in from our sponsor, and we'll get on to the meat of today's show.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Fort Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, here we go with our first little composing of The Art of Warhammer 40K. Well, first, this is a pretty neat little philosophical read for one. If anyone hasn't read The Art of War by Sun Tzu, I recommend it to anyone. I first came in contact with this in a philosophy class, and this was a piece I did a report on, and it pretty much left me with a feeling, wow, this guy, you know, he had it going on, and started looking through and, you know, going through history and stuff and seeing people like Napoleon and different rulers, Alexander the Great. They used basically like a miniature war game to base house strategies were done on a battlefield and stuff. And, you know, anyone who's seen the movies, they'll see the little pieces being pushed around, like the little shuffleboard things. And, you know, chess comes down to this simple, basic philosophy that, you know, it could be taken up as a war game as well. So I'm thinking to myself when I'm reading this book in class, I was just like, you know what? There's no reason some of these principles can't be added to miniature tabletop game. And, you know, and I was really hard blown into freaking Warhammer at the time. I wasn't even playing 40K, but I was just like, well, I always thought about doing little, I was going to do a pamphlet with comparison notes. I was going to copy the pages of the Art of War, then put in my Warhammer notes, and, well, started doing this podcast, so I'm going to put it down as, put it in a podcast form. That way I don't really have to write it down, I guess. I don't know if that makes me lazy or not, but I wouldn't doubt it. First, let's go on to the first chapter of this Art of War. Sun Tzu says Art of War is governed by five constant factors. These have to be taken into account into one's deliberations when seeking to determine the conditions obtaining in the field. We're going to start with these, then we're going to go on to the phases of combat, or the game itself. He stated that these are the moral law, heaven, earth, the commander, and the method of discipline. Now, I broke these down a while ago, so I haven't changed these since, I'm going to say, this was like 13 years ago. I haven't changed these. I did write these down. They're in my book right here as I speak. And when I was playing fantasy, and I think I'm going to put this more towards the 40K aspect, because fantasy with rank and file is going to be a little bit more ponderous. And I just want to give this, I'm going to do a, I don't know, I would say noob's guide, but that's completely taking it off of what I did on the previous podcast. But hey, noob's guide to Warhammer 40K, this is what it's basically coming down to. When it comes down to it, the moral law, this causes people to be complete accord with a ruler, so they follow him regardless of their lives dismayed in any danger. I break this down as your lead commander and general leadership of your units. As we all know, or if you don't, a lot of phases are broken into a game could be win or lost by morale checks, psychology, or break tests, depending how bad your units get wiped out. You got strong leaders and strong units with high leadership. It puts a nice, steady base for your army. I mean, we're not talking about having this big anvil unit that's just tooled up with magic and everything. Or magic, or special weapons, and, you know, Terminator armor and stuff like that. You got a solid leadership base around a high leadership commander, and, you know, you get a nice solid little block. So I guess these are to be looking at more or less what you can put in your army list first. The second is the moral law. That's the first, sorry. Two is heaven. It signifies night and day, cold and heat, and times of the season. I'll compare this with scenarios or special rules of when you're fighting. Also, it'll consider to yourself, are you fighting? It'll take into account if you're fighting night fight, if you're playing any special scenarios where you're using, like in Two White Dwarfs Ago, they put in a season or a Fenris weather chart to base around elements and everything. You take in these accounts of when you'll be fighting your battle. Are you going to be doing a death planet? I mean, this doesn't really account for, you know, you go to a tournament and you don't know what you're fighting. These rules really apply right here that I'm speaking, is if you're playing a friendly game with a buddy, and everyone knows, you play a good game with a friend of yours, you can be a little bit more bendable with scenarios, you can make up things, play with a little bit more character to your armies and such. Next is the commander. It stands for virtues of wisdom, sincerity, benevolence, courage, and strictness. This is you. This is the commander of your army. This is how you're going to put into, you know, how are you going to play this game? What route are you going to take? Are you going to go with a high shooting force? Are you going to go with a strict assault force? Do you want high amount of psychers? Are you designating a whole entire force to taking objectives? Are you looking to wipe out an enemy? This goes on to your style of play and how you handle your models on the field. Just as if you were a general in a real army. I know that's kind of corny, but hey, this is just to have fun. And, you know, a lot of people have like a little bit of a fantasy type thought in their head when they're controlling these armies. You know, they put themselves into place and they remember favorite parts of movies and such. The method of discipline, these understood the marshaling of army and its proper subdivisions. Very important, especially pre-game when making up an army list. You don't want to go in. I mean, I love making army lists, which is having crap that I like having in it. Like, I'm working on a Thunder Wolf cavalry unit, which I found a perfect wolf. I'll go ahead and put that out next episode or two after I paint it up and put a Space Wolf on it so I can put it on it. Probably going to put links to it on my battalion page, as well as, I think, if I can post on Twitter. So if anyone wants to see it, and I'll divulge what I use for the wolf. It just came to me by accident, and I was just like, this is sweet. I'm running with it. Anyway, sorry. My little space wolf. My little... Next is, and last, is Earth. This compromises distance, great and small, danger and security, open and narrow ground, and passages. This is important when playing certain armies. Some armies you're like, just blah, just run across the battlefield, hope to get in combat, and that's, you know, that's not wrong. Some armies, that's how they play. Other armies, such as, I believe with my Imperial Guards, you have to play it safe, you gotta take advantage of cover, you gotta make sure that survivability, everyone wants to win. I know you're in this to have fun, but, you know, everyone wants to win, so you gotta let your models try and, the best chances of their survivability, I suppose. So, before we go into movement and setup and such, which will be, won't be this episode, but next one, well, I thought that these five rules were pretty important. Well, at least quirky and entertaining. Is they lay in the laying, they sit in the laying plan section of this book. And these are five principles that when I was reading this book long ago, I was just like, you know what? I mean, they can be put into thought of Warhammer. And, you know, playing a miniature game, it's a, you're playing a role-playing version of an actual battle, you know, using dice and rules and stuff. So it's like, why can't something real life, well, at least was real life, be used in a fantasy game type setting? So this is where I came up with trying to converge these rules, actually Warhammer. So, try to make myself play a little bit better. You know, I wasn't very good back in the day, and, like I said, I used to think about it all the time. I had a part-time position as a custodial. There's a lot of thinking time, so ideas float through my head and stuff. So that's what we're looking at. Like I said, the rules are, again, you know, the moral law, which will be your leadership value of your core units and your commander. Next is heaven. Remember that that's going to be the simple, that not the simple, but the basic conditions of your fight, whether they be night fight, daytime, meat grinder, so forth and so forth. Next is earth. That's your battlefield itself and how to use the battlefield to protect your troops. The commander stands for you as the commander of your army, your style of play, and how you're going to handle each scenario, each objective, in the random game, you know, in the gameplay about how you're going to handle yourself. And then the method of discipline, which is how you put together your army list, making sure that you have strong points. Example, this is you got a good strong gun line, artillery gun line. There's a lot of stuff that can come up and disrupt that, basically screw you from behind. You, a good commander knows that they gotta use tactics like that against their enemy, as well as be prepared for when that happens to their gun lines and such. Don't, you know, supporting your hand-to-hand units. They might be gods on the hand-to-hand, but, you know, things happen. Some unexpected bad die rolls, you know, so you go those in. So that's it for my Art of Warhammer 40K for this week. Next week, like I said, we're going to be going into the section of waging war. We're going to start, I'm going to combine deployment and movement together in the same section, and we're going to go over the differences of basic foot movement, running, weapons that you can and can't shoot while you're running, and different things with the movement phase of Warhammer 40K. So hopefully this helps out the new players, as well as spark some different insight and some players that are already involved in the game to a certain degree. So that's all I got this week for the Art of Warhammer and for a show. Kind of running dry a little bit on ideas. You can contact me at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. Leave a message. Let me know how I'm doing. You can go ahead and leave show episodes. You can leave army matchups for the Warhammer Deadliest Warrior. And this is probably something I'm going to convolve over into Converge, over into 40K when I'm done with the fantasy. And when I do the noobs guide for 40K, when I'm done with that, I'm going to do one for fantasy. So I'm gonna alternate it like that, so we can kind of get a little bit a taste of each in there, not discluding one for the other or anything. So go ahead and contact me through my email. You can also contact me on mybattalion.com. My username is Sean Hammer, or contact me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, as well as my ID on that is Sean Hammer as well. I mean, multiple ways for you to get hold of me. Let me know how I'm doing, what I could do better, and any ideas that you want to hear in a show. Feedback is greatly, greatly appreciated, and I'd like to wish everyone a happy holidays. And I hope everything's going well, and I hope our troops overseas, everything's going well with them, and I salute you guys. Thank you. Without these simple liberties, we wouldn't be able to do things like this, having podcasts or being able to play simple war games just to have leisure time activities. So, I mean, you know, my heart goes out to you, and thank you, gentlemen and ladies, for your services that you've given to me and my country. I do appreciate it, and like I said, happy holidays, and until next time, you know, just keep having fun. I mean, that's what this game's about. Hopefully I'm not boring your asses off, and like I said, you got any comments, questions, or feedback, just go ahead and contact me, and see what we can do about making the show better if it's not already 100% to your liking. Until next time, like I said, just keep having fun.